Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
2-2 is driven high and deep to left field. This thing is absolutely crushed. The 3-1 is number two. This thing is pounded way back to left center field. Adios. Are you kidding me? It is 5-0 Angels. But the way this club's playing, you can't even think about that. Here's another homer. Adele launches one way out of here on the Lansdowne. The third massive big fly for the Angels. They are teeing off, and it's 6-0. Joe Adele to lead it off for the Angels in the sixth inning. Here's a drive to deep left field. This thing is launched, and Adele's got another home run. The 1-1 is sky deep into right field. Back when it's Soler at the warning track on the run, he's there to make the play. And the ball game is over.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Oh, our poor guy, Will Fleming. That was a tough night for Will to be calling, especially that first inning where Richard Fitz made some history here at Fenway Park, America's most beloved ballpark, where we broadcast today from our Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studios, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers. And F-Series, hurry in for your last chance to get employee pricing for all during the Great American Sales event. This place has been around a long time.
Long time.
And never before had an opponent hit three home runs in the first inning until last night.
Here's another homer.
Good news is they would have been out of all ballparks. I'm actually surprised we didn't find Mike Trout's ball right here in the studio somewhere with a broken window.
Are you kidding me?
I think it's on the other side of the Mass Pike.
Well, yeah, it might have bounced off a car and come back in this way because Richard Fitz, who people were talking about, oh, he's pitched so great, but it's crazy. It's this weird aberration. They never win when he pitches. And I was like, oh, he's due. He's due to get a win. Contraire, Monfrere, he's due to stink and not barely make it out of the first inning. Maybe my favorite part of that whole game was when they actually got an out and the Fenway, whatever you want to call it, Bronx cheer, sarcastic cheer that went up across the ballpark for the first out of the first was
just 33 pitches is all. Just, well, you know, just almost like, you know, felt like probably an hour and a half had gone by before the first out came.
It was unreal. Ted Johnson here, Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy, Stevens alongside. We will talk to the manager, Alex Cora, in less than a half hour here at 2:30 at Fenway Park with some interesting questions we need to get to the bottom of. We don't care if he's lied to us anytime. We're moving on past that. We just need to talk about the ball club, its ability to pitch, its ability to hit, the frustration, because that frustration you hear in Will Fleming's voice, Fitzy, just about every at-bat as the ball flies out of the ballpark, I feel like is connected to what Alex Cora has to be feeling.
Here's another homer.
They win a series in Atlanta, Fitzy, and then before you get an out, when you feel a little positive momentum, we're back at Fenway Park. It's beautiful out. Fitzy's in the house. Fitzy's bringing good luck to Fenway. And before you get an out, you're down 6-0. I just can't imagine that roller coaster that he's riding.
I brought two of my lifelong friends, one of whom was celebrating his 50th and had the pleasure of meeting Lou Merlone, Rob Bradford, and Joe Castiglione before the game. It was just, And it was a, you guys would have loved, the weather was just chef's kiss. It was a postcard there last night, guys. Everything was set for an immaculate vibes night against one of the worst teams in baseball to get things going. And with an armful of Miller Lights and hot dogs, as the first pitch is thrown, we could hear from down beneath Fenway Park, oh, just the gasp of everyone watching these bombs be launched. And it was so deflating. Everybody was just, yeah, you talked about that Bronx cheer, Andy. It was loud. It wasn't just sort of like a couple people get in and out. No, we're talking 25,000 people like, oh, yay, and out. Oh, great. Mike Trout's home run, Ted, it didn't cross the Mass Pike. It's in, like, Fitchburg. That thing was an absolute missile. Richard Fitz had no business being out there last night, you guys. I think we need to ask Cora if he really thought Fitz was ready to go or if there was any internal discussion as to whether they should hold him back or not, because he was throwing BP. And now, Andy, 8 innings of one-run relief. 8 innings. A spectacular performance by the bullpen, and Hunter Dobbins doing work. Wasted because the first inning was such a blank show.
Yeah, I remember, Ted, one time, I think you were still around. You guys played the Tennessee Titans, and Eddie George had like 140 rushing, and Bill said, well,
I must not have been playing.
That's right. You were probably gone. That wouldn't have happened. And Bill was like, if you take away the 80-yard run, it wasn't a terrible day. If you took away the first inning last night, they actually showed some fight. Hunter Dobbins was good. All good things, right? Except you can't take away the first inning when you went down 6-0. And this team is growing infuriating. There's part of me that wants to do the moral victory, like, hey, they didn't pack it in and give up. They're showing a youthful fight back there. And then there's the other part that's like, yeah, don't throw batting practice to Mike Trout. Maybe don't throw a fastball right down the middle to some of these guys. And I get why Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks and these Lou, when you listen to them do the games, they are infuriated. They are disappointed in what they're seeing on a nightly basis. So I can only imagine what the manager is going.
Well, I'm curious what the I'm going to ask Alex about just the relationship with the pitching coach Andrew Bailey, because I'm curious about that.
You want him gone?
No, I just do. I mean, I'd be curious. Wow. What, you know, do they talk about, you know, kind of what the strategy is going to be, because there's not a lot of fastballs that are being thrown. If you listen to the broadcast, you just hear it constantly, whether it's Will Middlebrooks or Lou Marlone just talking about, man, just another breaking ball. Just, you know, they're just not throwing fastballs in situations where you think maybe a fastball would come. And so there just feels to me like there's a predictability to the pitching. And I'm just curious if that's a concern for them, but there certainly was, you know, last night, and those pitches, they were zoned in on him from the very beginning.
Yep. And that's,
it just looked, they were turning on the ball. They were hitting it on the sweet spot. And I mean, they didn't have a chance.
That's Will Middlebrooks has been beating that drum for a little while now about, they are so inverse. They are so breaking ball and off speed pitch heavy that teams look for it. And I think you can trace the roots of that to Andrew Bailey's 2 years here. Last year, they were really good right out the gates first couple months because they kind of inverted the way they pitched. They were throwing breaking pitches. They were throwing off-speed pitches. And then I think at some point, the scouting report, the book got out, and the pitching staff since then, Fitzy, hasn't been very good, because as Will Middlebrooks says, it's not an off-speed pitch if you're looking for it. It's the speed you're looking for. It's not catching you off guard if that's what you're actually sitting on.
Exactly. There's no it can't be a breaking ball. It can't be a changeup if it's not a changeup from a two-seam or a four-seam thrown to either move a batter off the plate or to just, you know, get blown by him as well. Let's go back to another infuriating loss of recent day. They did take 2 out of 3 from the Braves Saturday. Walker Buehler, what the F was he doing throwing a breaking ball that was hit about 500 feet, barely foul, comes right back with the same breaking ball that gets hit 400 and something feet, and then does the same thing later to Acuna, and that ball was hit all the way to the freaking Gulf of America. I don't understand what the strategy is at all with the starting pitchers right now, and it's putting these batters who did, as you said, showed heart and hustle last night, like Jaron Duran running his ass off, looks like he's finally catching a little bit of a streak and some heat right now as well. There was great compete, great energy from the fans all the way to the last out. But when you're down 6-0 in the first, and you and that's the way you set a precedent for the game, how's the morale supposed to be? Like, we just won 2 out of 3 from the Braves. Oh, we got smoked by the Angels. Awesome.
Yeah, no, I give them credit. I give them credit for as an offense and as a bullpen. And the funny thing is they kept talking about the good position they were in pitching-wise because they had Richard Fitz, who was going to expand a little bit, maybe give you four innings, and then you had Hunter Dobbins, and you were like, mm-hmm. we got eight innings out of these two guys, and that goes right out the window immediately when, to be fair, he threw a lot of strikes. The bad thing is most of those strikes were hit a long, long way.
Hard.
Left. Yes, hard. He didn't miss. They like to say he didn't miss a lot of barrels. There were a lot of good, solid barrels on the pitches he was throwing. And yes, Dan Ball?
Just to add to the conversation, so since Andrew Brailey took over in 2024, Fangraphs has the Red Sox throwing fastballs 21.6% of the time, and that is 30 out of 30 in teams in baseball. They're top five in sliders.
Wait, how, yeah. Dan, among other 22%? That's all they're throwing? There,
21.6 is your exact number for fastballs. It's been a little bit up this year, so it seems like maybe they're starting to realize, hey, a little bit of a mix.
Starting to realize a year later, the pitching staff has been like Tanner Houck. You could argue he had that little bump and then he's an all-star. And since then, he's been sort of a disaster. These guys are, and you mentioned Walker Buehler, like there's different guys that clearly, I don't think are all in on the philosophical guidance they're getting from the organization.
Well, I told you the number that I got from our guy, Zach Coe, where the Red Sox led the league in ERA from when Bailey was hired up until May 15th of last year. Since then, I haven't looked at the numbers within the last week, but they're 22nd in the league in staff ERA. So
probably went down.
It worked for about 6 weeks, and then teams realized this was the point that you made. Oh, they're just going to throw us breaking balls 80% of the time, and you sit breaking ball. And yeah. There you go.
And it's working for the opposition. It's making life easy on them. And I think there's some guys on this team that have some pretty good fastballs. Because you watch guys pitch and you realize pitching isn't just about hitting 100 on these inflated radar guns. Like you can pitch in the 90s, and if you do it right, I just don't think that's amazing. 20% of the, so 80% of the time, essentially, they're throwing a breaking ball or an off speed.
And what do you guys think? If you had to guess, what's harder? If you're anticipating the breaking ball and you're anticipating the fastball, even though you know which pitch is coming, which one do you think is easier to hit?
Oh, the breaking ball.
Not even close.
And because there's a certain, I know big leaguers will tell you if it's just a straight fastball, they'll get their timing down eventually. Doesn't matter whether it's 97 or 103, but it's also moving 103. Like, you know, it's coming at you. You don't have a lot of time. Whereas if you slow it down, you get these bad breaking balls. That's the other thing. If they all had elite breaking balls, but it seems like they're hanging them left and right. The bullpen, the starters, they all have these breaking balls that the other team is just like, whew, this is a good one. I'm turning on this one. How many times have you seen, not only are they crushing the ball for home runs and hits, there's been a lot of times where batters are crushing it foul or just missing, and they're like, mm-hmm. I dare you to throw that again because I feel bad about myself.
I'd be curious. I got to maybe ask ChatGPT this question. But uh-oh. Like, what team – I'd be curious where the Red Sox rank in getting batters in 0-2 counts. They get them in 0-2 counts a lot.
Yeah, they do. That happened to Fitz last night.
And then what happens?
Give up a bomb.
The third pitch is not even close. Yep. No one bites. And then now all of a sudden they find themselves in trouble. So – The 0-2 count, to me, they shouldn't be getting damaged like they're getting damaged when a lot of their starting pitchers get the batters in 0-2 counts and then can't close it out.
And then the funny thing is this has nothing to do, Fitzy, with first base or Tristan Casas or Rafi Devers taking ground balls or Toro playing third. Well, Toro did kind of boot a ball that played.
He did in the first inning.
In the first inning there. So, yeah, I guess
right
it is.
It hopped up. It took such a little league hop up on him right there. And we were talking yesterday, like, oh, Toro's back at third. That's his natural defensive position. First big chance he gets, even though he ended up having a good game last night, by and large, save for that error that cost them a run. Yeah, that was bad. That was real bad.
But, you know, we're talking now about the pitching because there's been various points where we've debated, well, is it the lineup that doesn't score any runs? That's the biggest problem for this team. Is it the bullpen that blows leads? Is it the middle? Is it this? Is it? I think we're kind of landing on the pitching right now. Other than Crochet?
I mean, it's all of it.
Crochet
if we're
and
being honest,
all of it at different times.
If you had to point, what's the major? If you can only pick one,
but a little bit like
starting pitching.
Some of us who believe Devers should play first, like these like horse that we beat dead. How about we try fastballs? How about we change our percentages on fastballs? Just up it, because what's going on right now isn't working. So try something different. And you may say, I don't think it's going to work, but I'll just to prove you wrong, I'll show you 20% fast. Dan, what is the league leader in fastballs? And I didn't mean to put you on the spot if you still have that web page open. But like, I wonder what the variance is there, the difference between the most fastballs thrown versus the least fastballs thrown, because just mix it up. Like, you got to change things. It's what Christian Campbell's seeing. He started hitting a certain way. Pitchers have approached him a different way, and now he's struggling. And now it's his turn to adjust to their adjustment. They're not doing that as a team and a pitching staff.
So your number, the Washington Nationals are your league leader in the same sample size since Andrew Bailey took over. Yeah, go ahead.
It's not going to be by much. It won't be sound like a lot, but it's a lot. I'm going to say 8% more, 28%.
So they are nearly doubling the Red Sox.
Oh, 40%?
So if Boston's at 21.6%, the Washington Nationals are at 40.1%, and you have 22 teams out of the 30 that throw a fastball at least 30% of the time.
Okay, so that's a big difference.
Two-thirds of the league is well ahead of
at least 10% above.
That is a very calculated approach.
That is and it hasn't worked. Like, that's the simplest part to me. Don't even necessarily compare yourself to the league average or other teams, because you have different staffs with different, you know, skills and pitchers and all that. It's just not working. So maybe change it up. Now, maybe they will say they think it is working. I would disagree, because we've been talking nonstop about starters can't go deep into games and starters and the bullpen and all these various things. And then you have some of these examples where early on in games, a guy like Richard Fitz gets killed. Tanner Houck gets killed. Like, they've had some really bad outings by starting pitchers at various points. So it's not working, in my opinion. So there's an obvious adjustment. I'm not guaranteeing it's going to work, but there's an obvious adjustment you can try. And I feel like this is going to come up in in about 15 minutes when we talk to the manager. And
that topic will come up.
Also, will be and what this really ties into, Fitzy, not just the specific nature of the conversation. Would you like to throw more fastballs? Mm-hmm. But more importantly, how does the decision come about, and do you have a voice? Or is this Craig Breslow and his guy Andrew Bailey just telling you what to do and you have no say in it?
Bingo, nailed it on the nose, Hart. That is the question that I am trying to work up the gumption to ask Alex Cora. I'd also like to ask him why Rafi Devers was so antsy at the plate last night, because he came up in multiple situations where he could have either tied the game. Obviously, he can tie. No, but he could have tied the game or given them the lead, and was just swinging out of his shoes and his socks right from Jump Street. But to your grander point, and I think this speaks to a lot of the potential problems on this team. Do we think that Alex Cora, or does Alex Cora, more importantly, think that he has the resources? Obviously, lots of data, lots of input from Brez, and I'm sure Kennedy, and who knows, Henry, and the Nerd Core, and Driveline. But does he have the freedom and control he needs to manage the team the way that he wants to? Because I feel like we've been talking about a disconnect, and I think it is proving itself out one frustrating loss after another on this team.
Yeah, certainly as we observe it from afar, we have no idea what's going on behind closed doors. All we can go by is what either players tell us or Alex Cora tells us or Craig Breslow. And obviously they're going to paint it in a positive light for their organization, for their relationship, whatever you want to call it. But the way it looks when we have these various instances of, I mean, the Crochet thing was the glaring example here. When we were in this studio and he says, Crochet is going to go 7 or 8 tonight. We need maybe a complete game. And then it's like, oh, no, he's going 85 pitches. He's going 5 1/3. And he can laugh it off as, well, I'm not going to give you the scouting report. But I don't know.
You look at the Christian Campbell decision not to play Sunday on first. There's a similar type thing.
I certainly think it could be. Now, I get the argument. Toro's been good at the plate. You wanted to keep his bat in. And Christian Campbell is struggling a little bit just in general. He's a guy that seems like he's splashing in quicksand and kind of falling deeper and deeper into the sand.
It's almost the kind of the reason you don't put Rafi Devers at first, because he's hitting so good. It's
right.
Almost like you don't change Christian Campbell his position because he's not hitting good, right? You want to put more on his plate, kind of thing.
Yeah, no, it's and there's a lot of those guys, and that's something I might ask Alex as well, is at some point, do you just want to settle in? We always talk about continuity on offensive lines, and you talk about, well, this guy's not that good, and this guy, and how good is it, and moving two guys around, whatever. At some point, I feel like they owe it to these guys. Just go out there, and maybe for 4 straight days, you know where you're playing in the field, and you know where you're batting in the lineup. Because they change the lineup every night, too.
I think the lineup's different.
Christian Campbell's ninth now.
Yeah. I feel like he looks at the lineup differently as he looks at the positions they play.
Well, he looks at...
You know, Meyer last night, guys, and...
Well, I get that to some degree with the lefty and a day off, and, like, you know, there's a lot being thrown at him early in his career. Mm-hmm. But, you know, even I know they move guys down in the lineup, and Alex looks at that as like a break or slow it down. Or I don't necessarily think all players look at it like that. I think they look at it as a demotion, and maybe they start pressing even more. Maybe they feel desperation. You know, I don't know that going Christian Campbell was batting, well, he's batted everything from fourth to ninth now, but he was the cleanup hitter on this baseball team. Now he's batting where they put the fat kid in right field in Little League. Like the last, like, oh, geez, he's got to bat somewhere, so pencil him in last in the order.
Well, when you do it to a veteran like Trevor Story, that's a guy that may recognize what's going on. But to your point, when you do it to a rookie who you elevated all the way up to the cleanup spot, there may be something there.
And I would also argue, other than Rafi Devers, there's not a lot of people on this team that have been hitting consistently for an extended period of time. Mm-hmm. Devers might be the player of the month for May. Other than that, we all kind of stink together. So moving us around doesn't really seem to be working. So maybe just let us get comfortable with the guy who's in front of us, the guy who's behind us. We know when to get up. Like there's a timing, there's a all of that. So I'm a bit of an advocate of that now. Just figure out, okay, you love Romy, put Romy at first. If Toro's your third baseman, whatever, Meyer's your third baseman, what? Just pick spots for guys and maybe let them just get a little bit comfortable and plant their feet for a little bit. Ted, you're the athlete. Like, isn't, no, why are you laughing at that, Tan Ball? He's the athlete.
Obviously.
Did you just notice he laughed?
I don't think
you should care for that.
I didn't even see it. Did he laugh?
He laughed.
Right. Well, it was the declarative thing. Like, oh, I just remembered you're the athlete in the studio.
But they always say athletes are creatures of habit and they want to get into routines.
We are.
Is anybody on this team in a routine?
No.
Only one. Rafi Devers. We don't make him do anything he wants to do with a glove, and he gets to bat second and hit whenever he wants, and that's it. It's very interesting. The one guy who's allowed to have a routine is the best hitter on the team. Coincidence? Maybe.
Yeah, hey, look, but he's got it. But if Alex keeps, if he doesn't move guys around and it's status quo, then it's why aren't you changing? It's a difficult position.
Oh, we're never happy to.
And Jaren Duran stayed in the same spot, you know, more, you know, for the most part.
Yep.
You know, I think there's Abreu pretty much has stayed there. You know, center field, for the most part, has been the same. I mean, there's, you know, Narvaez has been pretty much the catcher since Connor Wong got hurt early in the season. Yep. So there's,
he's our best hitter. My God, isn't that nuts?
But the lineup, it moves all the time.
Yeah.
The positions are different.
I don't know. I just feel like in the world where athletes are creatures of habit and it's not working. If this were working, I'd be like, play on, playa, keep doing your thing.
And I think part of what the changeup lineups is, it's like, it's letting them know, hey, you know, we're not real happy, but we don't want to just, you know, not play either. So we're sending you a little bit of a message.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So that's why I think they move guys around in the batting order to kind of, light a fire under them without, you know, completely soul crushing them.
The good news is we're going to be able to ask all these questions of the manager of the Boston Red Sox, Alex Cora. He'll be joining us next here at Fenway Park on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball, give me what's trending.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.